السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In life, most of us desire to maintain happiness, joy, and success. We put in a lot of effort to maintain happy lives, and we try our best to avoid difficulties and problems and pitfalls as much as possible. Everyone wants to live a happy and secure life. Yet, it seems that difficulty in life is inescapable. It seems that no matter how much we try, we still cannot avoid all problems. We still cannot avoid all forms of difficulties and all issues. I read once a quote that said, "Life is rough, wear a helmet." And you'll notice sometimes it's true. When it comes to some of the issues that we face, sometimes we really need a helmet in order to overcome, you know, the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns, the jolts and the breaks of life. And this is just the morning rush hour commute, huh? We face difficulties. Sometimes these difficulties are great. They're magnificent. And there's an old adage that's usually employed, an old saying, that attempts to help people cope with difficulty. And that is what? That this too shall pass. Basically, this saying reminds us, it attempts to comfort us, to bring us a little bit of peace, a little bit of serenity, solace, that no matter how great this problem is, no matter what type of difficulty we're facing, that there will come a time where it will be over. It will end. It's temporary. It's transient, because this is the nature of life. Life is temporary. And so sooner or later, no matter what difficulty we're facing, it will pass. And we will overcome this difficulty. And so this saying brings a lot of comfort. Right? We're always reminded that all of the problems that we face, there's a time where these problems will pass and we'll overcome them. And it's constantly employed. The saying is constantly employed in order to bring us some serenity, some peace. But rarely do we apply this saying or think about this saying when it comes to the good things that we encounter in life. When we encounter something good, usually the vast majority of people, they want it to remain. They want it to stay forever. They don't want it to pass. They don't want it to end, right? If you have a good job and you have a steady income, you have a good relationship, if you're living comfortably, you don't sit and say, well, this too shall pass. No, you try to intentionally avoid thinking about that. You try to wish and hope that in fact this will stay. But the reality of life is what? Is that life is always changing. Life is always changing. One of the beautiful features of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us His ayat, His signs. Many, many verses. This is a recurring theme in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the ayat. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ Allah tells us. And of the signs of God, among the signs that God has created is what? And he goes on. The Quran lists various, you know, natural phenomena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of various signs that point towards the existence of the Creator and that they are part of the design of the universe and the creation. One of the beautiful verses is in chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 164. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in this verse, He says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ And the alternation of day and night. Day goes, followed by night, followed by day once again. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ And the ships which sail in the ocean for benefit of people. وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا And how the rain comes, it falls from the sky, and as a result, it does what? It brings life to a lifeless earth. The rain comes down, right? And it does what? It brings life. The earth could be lifeless, could be dead. And through this rain, life is bestowed upon this earth. Once again, فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّ And the emergence of all sorts of animals and creatures on this earth, وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ And the winds and the clouds, بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah says, in all of this, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ In all of these, in the creation, in the alternation of day and night, in the way that the ocean works, the way that the land works, the way that the sky, the way that this entire creation is made, in all of this are what? Ayat, are signs, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ For who? For those who reason. For those who think, and many of these verses that discuss the ayat, they are succeeded with this specific phrase, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَفْقَهُونَ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ Those who reason, those who take the time to ponder, to think about these signs, they see them, they think about them, and they draw lessons from them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us many of these signs. And these signs essentially, what they tell us is what? Is that this life, this creation is in constant motion. It's in constant movement. It's always changing. The alternation of day and night. doesn't stop. It continues. The earth continues to revolve. The sun rises and sets. Day and night alternate. The seasons, they come and they go. And we see the change in seasons, not so much here in Southern California, where pretty much we have summer all year long. But in other parts, we see this change, this shift in the seasons, right? You have spring, and then you have summer, and then you have fall and winter, and the differences. And even when it comes to our own bodies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. We will show them our signs, God's signs, in the horizons, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and even within themselves. Look at our bodies. From the moment of conception until the moment of death, our bodies are constantly changing. There is not a moment in which our bodies are still. Experts tell us that the body averages between 50 to 75 trillion cells, something like that, right? And these cells, they're always changing. Each of them has a definite lifespan. Some of them a couple of days, some of them some years, some of them, you know, for a lifetime of the individual. Some of them are replaced, others are not replaced. And so there's constant change. Our bodies are always changing. And this is the nature of life. Good comes and it goes, bad comes and it goes. And our job, brothers and sisters, is not to try to cling to one and to fight the other. Because in many cases, this is exactly what we try to do. We try to cling to the good, hold on to the good, preserve it, try to keep it as much as possible. And on the other end, we're trying to fight the bad. We're trying to avoid the bad. But that's not our job. Our job is not to try to cling to one and fight the other. Our job is to allow in our lives both the good and the bad to do what? To teach us. To refine us. To polish us. And this is why it's important for us to be able to understand the nature of good and bad. The nature of this life which is constantly changing. Some of you have probably heard of the very famous pastor here in Southern California, Rick Warren. Many of you might have heard of him, right? He's the author of the well-known book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you might even have met him. I personally haven't met him, but I've read his books, and my father knows him very well, and he speaks very highly of him. In his book, you know, he says a lot of great things in his book. I read once an interview after he wrote this book. This book became immensely popular. Immensely popular. Right? It became a bestseller. It was translated in multiple languages. You know, lots and lots of people, they read this book. After he wrote this book, back in 2002. And it was only about a year later where it picked up. For the first year, it didn't really gain much currency, much ground. But about a year later, suddenly, you know, the media sort of latched on, and there was a lot of popularity, and this book became a bestseller. And so what happened? He was interviewed. And in one of the interviews that was conducted with Rick Warren, he says that in that year, after I wrote this book, and after it became immensely popular, I became so famous. I mean, before that he was already famous, but he just became super famous. And in addition to being super famous, he became super wealthy too. The book began to be sold in millions of copies. He says, in that year, I learned a great lesson. He says, in that year, I learned that life is a series of problems. Life is a series of problems. You're either in one right now, you're currently in a problem, you're facing a difficulty right now, or you're just coming out of a difficulty, or you're getting ready to go into another difficulty. Right? And he says, what's the reason for this? What is the reason that life is in a series of problems, and we're usually always either in a problem or coming out of one or going into another problem? He says, because God is more interested with our character than our comfort. If we really think about this statement, it's a powerful statement. And this is exactly what the Quran tells us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 57, verse 23, Allah says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. In this describing why it is that sometimes we experience massive problems and trials in our lives, Allah says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you do not grieve, you do not despair about that which you have lost. That you're reminded that life is temporary. Don't overgrieve. Don't have despair if you lose something. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. And then on the other end, Allah says, وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. At the same time, do not be overly happy and satisfied with that which you have gained. Because in the end, the good and the bad, it will come to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the good and the bad, He is testing our characters. Some people, they only perceive the difficulty to be a test. You lose someone, you lose your job, you're facing difficulties in life, you say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me. But the test comes in all shapes and forms. Sometimes even that job that we land, that income that we make, that promotion that we're given, that specific goodness that we live in, that is also a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about all of my experiences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me how I dealt with the bad as well as with the good. And so we have to remember that Allah is interested to see what? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you, to see who is the best in action when it comes to the quality and the sincerity of action and of your character. So he continues in his interview, Rick Warren. He says, in that year, I learned a huge lesson. Because I became so rich. I got so much money to the point where he ended up giving back 25 years of the salary that he received from the church. He gave it all back. Right? But he says, that same year, with all that fame and all that wealth, my wife Kay was diagnosed with cancer. Same year. His wife was diagnosed with cancer. And so he said, I learned a huge lesson. By the way, his wife was diagnosed with cancer twice, and she was able to overcome. Twice. Right? He says, that year I learned a huge lesson. He says, I used to think of life as valleys and hills, ups and downs. One day things are going good, the next day they're bad, the next day they're good, once again, alternating between good and bad. He says, that year I learned that life is not ups and downs. In fact, life is more like you're on a railroad track, on two tracks. And so simultaneously, at the same time, when you're experiencing joy, there's problems. Good and bad are there at the same time. They're simultaneous. And if we think about it, that's really the case in our lives. No matter what sort of good we're facing, there's always an issue, a problematic issue that comes up. No matter what sort of difficulty we're facing, we also still have something good to think about, something to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Simultaneously, it's always happening at the same time. And this is why when we come to the Quran, we notice Allah tells us in chapter 94, Surah Ash-Shab, Allah says in verses 5 and 6, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Usually, this verse is translated to what? That with or after difficulty comes ease. to try to console us again, right? This too shall pass. That no matter what difficulty you're facing, after it will come a period of ease. But this is not necessarily an accurate understanding of this verse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Where there is hardship, there is also ease. It's not either or. It's at the same time. Because all of us, all the time, we're facing good and we're facing difficulty. Simultaneously. And it's important for us to remember that if we want to be able to live happily, true happiness and success, it's not that we try to cling to good and avoid bad, but that we understand and that we embrace both of these. We embrace the good and the bad. In other words, we do not become attached to the good. And we also do not fret over the bad. We have to be able to detach ourselves. Now, of course, this is easier said than done. But if we're able to realize this, if we're able to realize that life is always changing, it's always moving, that the good comes and the bad comes and they both go and they come back and forth and they're always moving and they're always changing, and that this life is temporary and it's transient, then this makes it much easier for us to live our lives. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to strengthen our hearts and our minds, to give us the capacity to avoid attachment to those things that are temporary and transient. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our faith in Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which pleases Him and away from that which displeases Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Nahmaduhu wa nusabbihuhu ala alaihi wa na'amaihi. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلي اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعن البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. According to a very recent poll, we're told that approximately 43% of Republicans believe that President Obama is a Muslim. Now, we hear about this, and we laugh. We think it's funny, right? But it's actually an issue, it's a symptom of something deep. If we notice, according to these same polls, these same statistics, they tell us that amongst certain groups, amongst certain supporters of specific presidential candidates, Republican presidential candidates, that this number is even higher. That, for instance, in the case of Donald Trump, that 66% of Donald Trump supporters believe that President Obama is a Muslim. And many of them, almost the same amount, about 61%, believe that President Obama was not born in the United States. He was born outside.
Right.
And in fact, I read an article just earlier this morning about an event that took place just yesterday in New Hampshire. There was a town hall meeting where Donald Trump was speaking to crowd, and one of those who was one of his supporters, he asked the question, the first question. And he told him, listen, we have a problem. And that problem is the existence of Muslims. Our president is a Muslim, right? And there are training camps developed all across our country in order for these Muslims to attack us and to exterminate us. So what are we going to do about this Muslim problem? Now, instead of correcting this individual on a number of fallacies, a number of problems, basically what Donald Trump ended up doing was saying that we will seriously look into this issue. And what that essentially implies is that he agrees that there is a Muslim problem. He agrees also himself that President Obama is a Muslim. He himself also agrees that there may be an issue of the president not being born in the United States. And this is not something new or specific to certain, politicians. No, many public officials. Many public officials, they have clearly suggested anti-Islamic and anti-Muslim rhetoric and sentiments. We see this from various public officials. We see this when it comes to specific issues. Like if we look at the example of the Syrian refugees, we know that there's a crisis right now of refugees, right? And the United States has suggested that it is ready to bring in up to 10,000 of these refugees to the United States. And we see reactions from certain public officials to this statement, to this idea. Many of them, they have condemned this idea. Why? Not because they don't want to help refugees, but because they have stated that in doing so, essentially, we are opening our doors to terrorists to come to the United States. How? Because if we do so, God forbid, some of these, fighters from Daesh, they will be able to sort of come and penetrate our borders, and they can come and they can, God forbid, cause chaos and havoc here. And some of these excuses, which essentially what they want to say is that we don't want Muslim immigrants. We don't want Muslims to enter into this country and that we perceive them to be a threat. They say something, they have this saying that not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims, which we know is false because the vast majority of terrorist attacks that occur in the United States and outside the United States, in Europe and other places, are performed, they're carried out by non-Muslims, not by Muslims. But yet, it's this issue of the othering of Muslims, of this deeply held racism that still prevails, this deeply held religious prejudice that still prevails, because it's not about what faith he is, right? When we hear about this issue of the president being accused of being Muslim, we laugh about it, right? We know that this is not the case, but that's not, the issue is not of his faith. The issue is this prevalence, the continuity of deeply held racism and prejudice. This is why, just earlier this week, and I'm sure many of you, most of you, or maybe all of you, heard the news of the young 14-year-old Muslim boy, Ahmed Muhammad, right? He's a ninth grader, 14 years old. He goes to school, He's made a clock at home, a digital clock. He takes it to school to impress in Irving, Texas. He takes it to his high school to impress his teachers. And immediately he's put into cuffs. He's interrogated by the principal and five officers. And he's taken to juvenile hall. You know, his mugshots are taken. He's fingerprinted. This 14-year-old kid who built a clock. Why? Because they assumed that he had built a bomb. Although when they asked him a number of times, he kept repeating to them, he told them it's a clock. This is why, this is a result of this deeply held racism, this deeply held anti-Islamic sentiment. And this is not new or particular to the Muslims, brothers and sisters. I've said this before. If we look at the history of the United States, we'll notice that racism, prejudice, bigotry is a recurring theme in our history for centuries. Right? If you look at how Jews were dealt with in the United States a couple of centuries ago, 19th century, even in the 20th century, look at how Catholics were dealt with. Catholics who are Christians, right? How Catholics were dealt with in the 20th century. If you were to go out and you were to suggest that a Catholic president, a Catholic person could become president in the middle of the 20th century, people would laugh at you. But when we come to the issue of President Kennedy, we notice that Kennedy was a Catholic. And in fact, they tried many times, multiple times. There were so many issues during that time to try to stop him from being voted, being voted as president, being elected as president. Why? Because he's Catholic. Because his loyalty lies not with the Constitution of the United States, but with the Pope. And the same thing is happening now. Right now, the same thing is happening. We notice that some of this racism still persists today. Look at the case of African Americans. How much racism we see in the United States when it comes to the issue of African Americans, or Hispanics, or immigrants, or others. But when it comes to the case of Muslims right now, sort of we're the monster. We're the monster right now. And so all attention is paid towards the Muslims. Yet at the same time, we have to realize that although this is problematic, this is something that we are not happy about. It's causing a lot of issues. It's causing a lot of problems for American Muslims and for others. Even to the point where some individuals are mistaken as Muslims. The other day, a Sikh, a man, he was attacked. Why? Because they thought he was Muslim. This is a problem. It's a serious problem. Yet with all of these issues, at the same time, voices of reason, voices of justice, voices of wisdom are still shining. Even in this case of this young boy, Ahmed Muhammad, we notice immediately the attention that was given to this issue. That individuals, from the president himself, who invited him to come to the White House, to various academic institutions, to various companies, to others, who they encouraged this young man. They told him, listen, this is not what America is about. America is about giving you opportunity to pursue your dreams, to work hard, to build. And so these voices are there, and they're still shining. And it's up to us, brothers and sisters, especially as American Muslims, we have to realize that no matter what sort of issues we're facing, no matter what sort of difficulties, many people, unfortunately, they lose hope. They say, it's never going to get good for Muslims in America. There's just too much hate. There's too much animosity. We're never going to get ahead. We're never going to get any progress. We're never going to integrate in this society, in this community. We're never going to be accepted. Yet we should not have such sentiments. No, in fact, we should have high hopes. Because many communities, they came before us, they went through these exact same problems, these same exact phases, and they were able to overcome. Because they held strong, they had strong conviction, they had strong faith, And in addition, they coupled it with actions. They didn't just sit back and complain and say, oh, everyone hates us, we're never going to get anywhere. No, they worked in order to make a difference. And this is very important for us brothers and sisters, to have both this hope and this expectation, but also to do what is in our capacity to change our situation for the good. Brothers and sisters, we have to be able to inspire, especially in our children and the younger generation and our youth, we have to be able to inspire in them the spirit where they are proud to be American Muslims. They're proud both to be an American because of our values and also as Muslim because of our Muslim values, our Islamic values. And it's only then when we're able to instill this sort of pride in our identity that we're able to move forward, that we're able to encourage individuals such as this young boy, Ahmed Muhammad and others, to go and pursue their dreams. Not to be intimidated or afraid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the strength to guide us to that which pleases Him, to guide us away from that which displeases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring safety and security to those who are suffering, to bring full and speedy recovery to all of those who are ill and those who are sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away. Finally, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you there's a few events that are coming up, but specifically the day after tomorrow on Sunday, September 20th, from 4 to 6 p.m. inshallah, we'll be having an interfaith panel discussion with a well-known Jewish educator by the name of Lee Wiseman. He lives here in Orange County. And myself, I'll also be in attendance. From 4 to 6, it's set up by our youth, but it's open to everyone, the entire community. So I highly recommend and encourage you to come, to participate, and to also encourage your friends and family members, Muslim and non-Muslim. The title of the interfaith panel is Practical Steps to Successful Interfaith Cooperation. So, you know, we'll be having the panel and also open up the floor to discussions and questions and answers. And I encourage you all to attend, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Qumu ila salatikum yarhamkumullah.